There is a lot going on this weekend. Obviously, NBA Finals front and center. But first, let's talk about the Braves and what's happening with our team. Because, Mike, we remain in first place. Even though we lost the game last night, we didn't sweep them. But we win the series. 7-2 was the final score. But Dubon, and we were, you know, talking about this all week, like how hot it seems he is.
Right.
How, you know, he's given opportunities in this lineup, and he's taking advantage of it. You said it. It was a weird start, I guess, for Chris Sale, who allowed 3 runs on 10 hits. That is not the normal Chris Sale.
No. And, look, I just think over the course of 30 starts, you're going to have a few clunkers, but we think, you know, Chris Sale's, you know, there's nothing but catch. It's an off night. You know, and, again, it's a night where the Braves weren't hitting. So, and we also know that the Blue Jays, and I think they talked about it, Jeff Francoeur and Brandon Gaudin on the broadcast on Braves Vision. This is a really talented Blue Jays team that was in the World Series. It's just not hitting.
Yep.
And sooner or later, they're going to start figuring it out. And hopefully, you know, we're done with them now. But, yeah, for the most part, they couldn't get anything on track this series.
Let's hear the Dubon home run. This made it 3-2 Braves, by the way. And then they exploded late in this game.
This ball driven to left off the bat on Dubon.
Wiley with his shirt off, by the way, the tarps off thing, which is now going all around. Remember, that's I talked great. About it a few weeks ago. I saw little kids, the last Braves game. I was at little kids were doing it.
Yep.
Becky's like, why have they got their shirts off? It's a thing now. And everybody does it. They had Wiley doing it last night on TV.
No, it was great. He was dressed up. Look, he's doing a terrific job. The whole crew is. And Brandon Gaudin with the call there on Braves Vision. Meanwhile, Chris Sale, after the game, was talking about balancing his rest and staying sharp.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think there's some things that I might need to fine tune a little bit, because it still seems like there's times throughout the game where just command is gone and it's just almost impossible to find. But, you know, on the flip side of that, you get rewarded with a little bit better stuff and a little bit, you know, your body feels a little bit better and stuff like that. So, you know, you just kind of move the bars a little bit and you know, start tinkering here and there and just trying to fine tune and, you know, work more maybe this week on trying to find a little bit better command consistent.
I don't know two players in baseball more forthcoming than Spencer Strider or, in this case,
yeah,
Chris Sale after a loss. Mark Bowman, by the way, from MLB, just to follow up with what Chris said about the tweaks, he's thrown his fastball harder in his past two starts than he has in any start since the end of 2018.
Wow.
So, yeah, I guess it looks like there'll be some tweaking. And, again, you got a great pitching coach that is certainly, you know, the coaching staff that we've brought down from the Mets that we stole can probably figure this out. But Chris Sale telling you what's what.
Yeah, man, not the norm. He will be fine. I'm not worried or concerned as they get ready to start a new series tonight. Let's hear Walt Weiss, though, talking about how confident he is that Sale's going to figure it out.
Absolutely like what I'm seeing. I think, and look, he'll figure that out. If that's what he feels like he needs to do, he'll get it done. So, but I think the important thing is that he's his body's good, his arm is good, he feels fresh every time out. He's been 100 pitches plus a few times now, and still maintaining the velocity. So there's a lot of good things going on, and he'll figure that stuff out.
No doubt, Pirates tonight, guys, as the Braves get a weekend at home.
Martin Perez on the bump tonight.
Yeah, man, look, all these guys, Mike, that we kind of go, oh, what are we going to get? They've all kind of done their part. Strider on Saturday, and then it is Elder on Sunday for the Braves. Let's talk NBA Finals, man, because this is what we'll be discussing if they win. And that is Jalen Brunson the best free agent pickup in the history of the NBA? Because if he leads the Knicks after 50 years, Mike, of not being able to win it to an NBA championship. And remember, guys, in Dallas, he was kind of lost. Everybody thought he was second fiddle to Luka. Charles Barkley was talking about this. Listen to what Chuck says.
Listen, I said this a few years ago. I think Brunson might turn out to be the greatest free agent signing. I'm not talking about LeBron and Kevin Durant and guys like that. But I think Brunson, if he's able to deliver a championship to New York, it'll be the greatest free agent signing in NBA history. There's nobody knew he was going to be this good. I didn't. You guys. Nobody. No. When New York signed him, they didn't think he was going to be this good. He's turned them into a perennial contender. They went from being never being talked about to the conference finals last year. Mm. Now they're in the finals because of Brunson. So if he's able to finish this journey, Mike, it would be the greatest free agent sign in NBA history.
Yeah, man, no disrespect to Mark Jackson, but if Pat Riley had him, imagine what the Knicks would have done in the 90s.
Right.
You could argue the best free agent in the history of New York sports since Mark Messier.
Okay.
Who was brought in to get a Stanley Cup championship.
And he did. Yeah.
You know, but there was pressure on him, as you said. He just laid it out. No one had that expectation level for this guy, and he's taken that.
And he was, you know, look, the contract was reasonable. It wasn't, you know, he wasn't making $50 million a year. He will, but right. he that's not where he was at.
And you guys, you probably talked about it yesterday when Chris was filling in for me, but the map of Madison Square Garden on Ticketmaster and the prices.
It's nuts.
It's insane.
It is.
I mean, tickets were, I can be honest, because I used to sit there with my dad that you could, you know, you'd need binoculars to see the basketball court going for 10 grand.
Yeah.
It's insane.
New Yorkers who are, or Knicks fans specifically, making the trip to San Antonio said, with flight, hotel, and tickets to the game, it's cheaper
right.
than staying in New York and going to the Garden to watch one of these NBA Finals games. Either way, we'll see how it plays out tonight. What about Jalen Brunson, man? He was talking about the Spurs and what he expects tonight.
They come ready to play more than any other team that we faced. And so we have the utmost respect for them. We know that we got to be ready for game two. We just found a way to make plays at the end of the game.
Wemby, is it a learning experience, win or lose here, about, you know, handling his emotions, getting his head right? Because he does, speaking of wearing his heart on his sleeve.
He does.
You know, we talked about Kevin Garnett going, crying after the conference championship.
Too emotional. Too emotional.
He's got to dial it in. What about how about taking shots closer to the basket? Do you buy that? Did you feel that it was just a byproduct of him being gassed after seven games, the way things kind of played out?
Look.
Because he would hustle and swat things away on the defensive end.
Yeah. I think, you know, for me, and we'll find out what Sam Mitchell thinks coming up here at 3 o'clock, but I look at Wemby, and I thought, and giving credit to Cat, he played really good defense. We gave a stat yesterday where Cat was on him when he was the primary defender on Wemby. I think Wemby was 2 for 12
right.
shooting the ball. That's 2 shots made, 12 missed. That's great defense. And so he, some way, Mike, affected him. I don't know if it'll happen tonight because Wemby came out and said, look, I'm not worried the slightest bit. But I do think, and I said this, Mitch Johnson, I think, screwed this up. He, the substitutions, look, you have the sixth man of the year. Nobody even knows this with the Spurs.
Right.
And the kid played 8 minutes in game one. That makes no sense
whatsoever.
You lost
the script. You lost the script.
You went to De'Aaron Fox, who I get is an experienced vet, but he's not healthy and he's not playing great. Meanwhile, Harper, the rookie, is balling and they have no answers for him.
And he gave you a bounce and a buzz. That's why, I mean, we had talked about this the other day with Brian Geltzhauer about who's going to have the edge. You know, I think Mike Brown sort of, you know, really had a big moment with the Hawks and almost looked like he could have wobbled, figured it out.
Yep.
And, of course, pivoted for Brunson to Cat in our series. But, yeah, it's a young coach that, you know, it was the moment a little too big. You know, he'll certainly, I would think, make the correction. Spurs have to win this one. Because, you
that
know,
it was too emotional.
It was too emotional.
That atmosphere is going to be electric at the Garden. But I see Wemby less jump shots and take it in the basket.
If you go up, here's the deal, though, Mike, and I'll say this. We'll ask Sam about this. I got to give the Knicks defense credit. Look, we talked about this with us. They shut down all passing lanes, okay? So we talk about their length. They match up really well with San Antonio, and their bigs, they can throw three different guys at Wemby who are all physically bigger.
And Mitchell Robinson, despite the hand, was able to have an impact with his minutes. The one thing, and I will say this, had the Knicks not gone, for lack of a better word, spastic in the first, like, 12 minutes where they were just running around and just rushing everything.
Felt that way.
They're just trying to, you know, they don't want to get Wemby set in the defensive set. You know, so they were just kind of rushing everything and shot selection. I mean, they were getting good looks. They were just clanging it. They were playing hot potato with the ball. Once they kind of slowed it down a little bit, but there's no defense for Jalen Brunson making the floater and then the three. When he hadn't really been hitting the jump shot, and then boom, he drops that three. It was unbelievable.
No fear, man. That he has a weak, because he's lefty. He's got this weird, I'm stepping to the basket, and then he turns the opposite way. And he hits that fadeaway jumper, and you're like, dude, there's nothing you can do about this. We'll see what happens tonight in Game 2. Sam Mitchell, SiriusXM Satellite Radio, NBA, will join us at 3. Georgia baseball begins Super Regional against Miss State tomorrow, 11 a.m. on ESPN.
Nobody's happy, including Josh Brooks, the AD, with that start time.
It sucks.
Yeah.
It does.
No, the only thing that's good for you out in Athens is, you know, getting to the bars earlier.
I mean, like, this
every
is
after the game.
Yeah, but you're the highest ranked seed.
Yeah, you should be
remaining.
In prime time.
You should absolutely. Sunday's game is at noon, but at the end of the day, does it matter? No. Dogs win, they go to the College World Series. Mike, let's discuss this here before we get Sam on, and that is, We're a couple of weeks away from the World Cup. We think this is going to be very impactful, not only here in Atlanta, but around the country, all these cities that are hosting.
Right.
And Mike, you know, 6-8 months ago, a year ago, we were talking about people visiting from around the world and all these things that were going on. And we just found out that reportedly we in Atlanta still have 65 to 70,000 rooms available.
Yeah.
How?
Well, I mean, the thing that you can do in Europe that you can't do here is you can do relatively inexpensive rail transportation. So you could stay in Miami and be up here on a train in 5 hours. Can't do that here in the States. We just don't have that. So I wonder if a lot of folks are going to just, you know, it's hard to imagine somebody flying up from wherever they're staying, doing the game, and then flying back. That seems a little crazy. Unless there's two things. You know, the perception that America is a very dangerous place right now. Again, I'm talking from a European mindset. You know, the political aspect. You know, some people are down. I don't know. It's just very strange. That surprised me, especially for Spain, because Spain is like a de facto home series for them.
Yes.
Playing a bunch of games at Mercedes-Benz.
Yes.
And, you know, anytime that you have a Super Bowl or a World Cup, there's always some economics professor from the local college who goes, the impact is always over-exaggerated.
It's never what they say.
All right. I mean, we'll see about that. I know that, you know, Formula One has a huge impact, and they had no problem filling hotel rooms from West Palm Beach to Key West for supporting Formula One. And this is the same kind of international audience for this. So I'm very confused by this. You know,
yeah.
I'm not sure unless they're staying someplace else and they're simply – or they're doing – now, what are the numbers about Airbnb and VRBOs?
That's a good point.
Because I know friends of mine in Midtown – a lot of folks are trying to sneak the Airbnb because a lot of condos put a cap on how many places you can rent out.
That's true.
In the building.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the only thing I could come up with.
Look, it's fair. When we hosted the Super Bowl, we'll get another one here in a couple of years. People in the burbs, right, outside OTP, were renting their homes. And they were getting people to come in and do that. Super Bowl's unique because, it's the week build-up, the parties, etc. I'm not sure what this is going to look like, but I will say this. And if you haven't traveled as of late, and if you're not rich like our friend Jerry, these ticket prices to fly anywhere is expensive. And so now you're right. Telling me all these folks are coming over from Europe and you're going to be Mike, it's not a cheap trip.
And I think, you know, we saw in New York certainly the price gouging. And I can't speak to the hotel rates here in Atlanta because I didn't look for one. But you're right. Airfare is already expensive before we got into this war with Iran, which obviously is still driving up jet fuel prices and it passed it on to the consumers. So I don't know. Maybe that's the perfect storm. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Because we'll have to be man on the street because we're going to be right downtown for all this.
We are.
Excuse me. Hola, where are you staying? You know, are you staying in New York? Because, like I said, if this is where you could stay anywhere and be on a train and get anywhere in the country in a couple of hours, can't do that in States.
No, you can't. All right, man, we're coming back. Sam Mitchell's going to join us. We'll ask Sam some of these things we're concerned about heading into Game 2. Is it a must-win for the Spurs? Does he feel that way? And why is he mad at Dukes and Bell? Find out next.